Tonight's shiur will be on the Yoni Shavuot. Most of the dinim of Shavuot, everybody knows, are the same as every other Yom Tov. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, the same dinim. We have some special dinim regarding Shavuot that are unique to this particular Yom Tov. First, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a chumrah from the later Achronim, from the Maaseh Binyamin, from the 1500s, a new chumrah that although on every Shabbat and Yom Tov there is a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbat and Tosefes Yom Tov, and the Gemara derives this from Sukkim, that the proper thing is to be motziv mechol haKodesh both lufanehu and the achreha, both in the Kabbal Yom Tov early in advance, and to be to extend the Yom Tov and the Shabbos later after Yom Tov is over. With respect to Shavuos, if the Maaseh Binyamin has a new chumrah based on a pasuk, a new chumrah is gitzach. Since the pasuk says that Shavuos doesn't really fall out on a particular day of the month, it's not that it falls out on the sixth of Sivan. On our calendar, it always falls out the sixth of Sivan. But the Gemara says Pamim Hei, Pamim Vav, Pamim Zayin. Sometimes it will fall out on the fifth of Sivan, sometimes the sixth, sometimes the seventh. Shavuos really falls out on the 50th day after Pesach. You count Sefiras Tamir 49 days, and after the Sefiras Tamir is up, then Shavuos occurs on the next day. Now, if in our system that we have Nisan has 30 days and Iyar has 29 days, so then Shavuos always falls out on the sixth of Sivan. But one could visualize that Nisan and Iyar don't have to have 30 and 29 days respectively. You can have both of them will have 30 days, in which case Shavuos will fall out on the fifth of Sivan. Or if both will have 29 days, then Shavuos will fall out on the seventh of Sivan. Slav Dafka always falling out on the sixth. So therefore, Maaseh Binyamin says that since the Torah was Koveya, that the Yom Tov of Shavuos really isn't a calendaric date. It's really a Zman that depends on when the Sefiras Tamir is over. Okay, so far so good, look good. And then he adds on another page. And the Pasuk says, Shavuos Shabbos, Tmimos Tiyenor, that you have to have 7 full weeks, 49 full days for the Sefiras Tamir until you can start to observe Shavuos. So therefore, Shavuos cannot have any Tosefes Lofanel. You can have Tosefes Le'achreho, you can, and the proper thing is to extend Yom Tov of Shavuos like every other Shabbos in Yom Tov. But there's no Tosefes Lofanel. This is the chum of the Maaseh Binyamin. Not to be Moisiv Mechayel Al HaKodesh before Shavuos. Of course, the women don't observe this chum, the women always bench licht. The proper thing is to bench licht 18 minutes or half an hour before Shabbos, not only on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov as well. On Shabbos, you're not permitted to light the candles on Shabbos or in Bein HaShemashit, because it's a melacha. But even on Yom Tov, when melechas erech nefesh is allowed, and one would be, theoretically, one would be allowed to light the candles on Yom Tov if the room is dark and you want to have light in the room, still the poskim say that the more proper practice is to always bench lich before Yom Tov begins, not only before Shabbos because of the problem of melacha, but before Yom Tov as well, to be meisif mechoel ala kodesh, number one, to be mekabel Yom Tov in advance. And number two, this is the mitzvah of kibud. We have two mitzvahs in the Divrei Kabbalah mentioned in the pasuk in Yeshayah. We have the pasuk kibud and the mitzvah of kibud and the mitzvah of oneg. So the mitzvah, exactly, what is the difference between kibud as opposed to oneg? So the Vilna Gaon in the end of the Hilchos Yom Tov, in the Rechayim, the last thing in Hilchos Yom Tov is about Simchas Yom Tov, Tav Kuf Chav Tes. So in the Biur HaGron, Tov Kuf Chav Tes, in Or HaChaim, he explains that the difference between Kibud and Einig is that Einig means the pleasure that the person derives on Shabbos or on Yom Tov from the Macholim and wearing the clean clothing and enjoying the clean house and having their bed set and so on. And Kibud is the special mitzvah to prepare everything in advance, to cook all the food in advance and to have the lights lit in advance and to have the table set and to have the big day Shabbos on in advance. Not stand the person should run home a minute before Shabbos and stop doing melachas and then walk around the house in pajamas the whole day. That would be a violation of oneg. But he shouldn't take off his big day chol on Shabbos and then put on the big day Shabbos. And it's what kibud is, to prepare everything in advance, even though there's no problem of melacha. Let's say turning on the lights on Shabbos is a problem of melachas. Of course you have to turn on the lights before Shabbos. But let's say cooking the food, you can't cook the food on Shabbos, it's an isa melachas. Of course you have to cook the food before Shabbos. What about setting the table? You can set the table on Friday night also. Let's say you're not so hungry. It's in the winter time. You're not so hungry. You're going to wait anyway to make Kiddush and eat the meal. Still, the proper thing is to set the table before Shabbos and to prepare everything that's possible to prepare in advance. So the same is true regarding Yom Tov. The Hadlokas HaNeiros should be done in advance of Yom Tov. Not only in advance of Shabbos, but even in advance of Yom Tov. That's for the two reasons. The one reason is to be Moseh Mechoel Al HaKodesh, and the second reason is to be Mekayem Mitzvah of Kibud. So the women, Lamaisa, always bench lift before Shavuot is. They don't wait till the husband comes home. They bench lift. The proper thing is to bench lift before. 18 minutes before, half an hour before Shkia, before sunset, the same as every other Shabbos and Yontif, to be Moisik and Chol al HaKodesh. And the men have the Masas Binyamin, was a man, he wasn't a woman. So the men have a minute, we follow the Masas Binyamin, that because we observe a new Chumra to indicate as if there's no Tosefis Lefoneha for Shavuos. Exactly how far do we go with this minute? So the Achronim and the Shulchan Aruch, some places don't have the minute. A very strange minute. Some places don't have the minute. Those places that do have the minig, so the Achrayim have two versions of what the minig is exactly. So many places the practice is that you don't daven ma'ariv, you don't begin to daven ma'ariv on the first night of Shavuot till it's well into the night, till you're sure that it's Tzeitz HaKachor. And other places have the minig that you do daven ma'ariv in shul and you do make kiddush in shul, but when you get home, when it's time to make kiddush at home, so then you should wait for the kiddush at home till after Tzeitz HaKachor. L'maisa, the whole thing is only a chumr, because Mikra Din, there really is no such thing. We don't... Zol Shem Zayin, that the Din is that Shavuos is Nikva by the 49 days. Shavuos is not a calendaric day, but it's rather after the 49 days of Sfira Rav. So what? You can still be Moisa Mechorel Al HaKodesh. What would be, let's say, Pesach is a calendaric day. So Fakir, how can you be Moisa Mechorel Al HaKodesh on Pesach? It's not the 15th of Nisan yet. So the answer is the Torah gave us a mitzvah to be Moisa Mechorel Al HaKodesh. How can you be Moisa on Shabbos? If you're going to be Mekabel Shabbos early, but it's not the seventh day of the week. So the answer is, that's the pasuk that tells you there is an institution of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontif.
Shabbos is exactly like
Shavuos
in the census.
Yeah.
It's not a calendar, it's after 6 days.
Yeah. Yeah. And still the Chumash says that there is Tosefes Lefaneh. Not only Lacharei, there is Tosefes Lefaneh as well. Yeah. So here the Masas Ben Yomin has this Chumrah, this Ashvera Chumrah that the pasuk says to me, that Shavuos doesn't really fully begin until you have the 49 full days. Regarding the second night of Shavuos, those who have the minig not to recite Kiddush to left the Tzeisach Kachovim, or those who have the minig not to daven Ma'ariv to left the Tzeisach Kachovim. So the question is, what about the second night of Shavuos? Do you have this minig as well? So the Prima Gaon quotes the Knesset HaGedolah who introduces the minig for the second night as well. So just like the first night, many Shavuos, they wait to daven Ma'ariv on the first night of Shavuos to left the Tzeisach Kachovim. So the Knesset HaGedolah says the same is true regarding the second night, because the idea behind it is, what the Masas Ben Yomin is saying is that there's no Tosefos Lefoneho for Shavuos. You cannot have Tosefes Yontif Lefoneha for Shavuos. You can neither have it for the first day Yontif, nor for the second day Yontif.
Don't we always do that in the second day Yontif? We do that anyhow. We never start until it's very late. First of all, the women can't light candles until it's really Tzeis HaKachor.
Yeah, the Maharil writes that in his communities, right, Maharil writes that in his sections in Germany, they had a minute that every time there were 2 days Yontif, they wouldn't have Ma'ariv till after Tzeis HaKachor of the second night of Yontif for that reason. That if the women know at home that the husbands are going to be davening normal time early, and they're going to come home, so the women will be rushing to bench lift for the second night, and rushing to heat up the food, to cook up the food, to prepare the meal, so the husband will come home. They're able to make kiddush and start eating, and the din is, and when you have 2 days yontav, the first day yontav is yontav d'araisa, and the second day yontav is only yontav d'rabbanan and chutzlorts, and one is not permitted to do any malacha on the first day yontav for the second day yontav. This year, the second day yontav is Shabbos. It's a special din. So whenever the second day is Shabbos, then you may do malach on the first day on behalf of the second day. But whenever it's not the Shabbos, whenever it's plain 2 days Yontif, so because the women are not permitted to light the candles, but to do any other malach, to heat up the food on the first day for the second day, nor are they allowed to do any preparations during Ben Hashmashas of the first day for the second day. So the Maharil writes that in his sections, in his areas of Germany, they had a minig all the time when you have 2 days Yontif, not to daven until after Tzeis HaKachor. But this minig of the Maharil was not quoted by the Achrayim in Shulchan Aruch. It's a widespread minig in German communities, but it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So here the Prima Gaon, also who lived in Berlin, Prima Gaon is also German, but a different section of German. The Prima Gaon writes, he is oblivious of this minig, he doesn't mention this minig, that you always daven the second day Yontif after Tzeis HaKachavim, and he just raises the issue regarding Shavuos. That Hayoris, since the Masas Binyamin introduced the new Chumrah, that we require Tzmimos, that there is no Tosefes Lefaneho for Shavuos, that Shavuos only begins after the 49 days of Tzir Arab completely after Tzeis HaKachavim. So what about the second night of Shavuot? So he quotes the Knesset HaGedolah, who says you should be Machman the second night as well. And in Prima Gaon disagrees. He says it's a big enough Chumra for the first night of Shavuot. And since we don't count any Sphira for the second night, the first day Shavuot is Nikra, is determined by the Sphira Tzom. You count 49 days Sphira, and then Shavuot comes after the unit of the 49 days is up. The second day of Shavuot is Nikra Midirabbanan by the calendar. That's a Din Midirabbanan. That's not a Din like the din derives of the first day that is determined by the Sphira Tzom. It's determined by the Chachamim. They said that calendar, the day after the first day, is Yontif Sheni of Shavuos. So there the Prima Gaon says, you don't have to observe this Chumra of the Masas Binyamin. There's nothing wrong with davening early. If I cared this year, that we make an Erev Tavshilin, that the second Yontif is Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham quotes a minig in Shulchan Aruch that the minig in his section of the world was that Bedavki Yidavin Erovi. Why? So he gives a whole explanation. The Gemara raises the question in Pesachim Daf Mem Vav. Since the din is that you're not permitted to cook on Yontif for after Yontif, you're not permitted to cook on Yontif Rishon for the second Yontif. So how is one permitted to cook, let's say, on the first Yontif for Shabbos when the second day of Shavuos is on Shabbos? How is one allowed to prepare? Isn't that a malacha? Not for Eichel Nefesh purposes. You prepare food, let's say you light the candles, or you cook tea, or you cook chicken, flesh, whatever, soup. You cook food on the first day Yontif for Shabbos. Isn't that a nisim malacha? So the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara gives two answers. Machlokas Amaron, what the answer is to this question. Machlokas Rabbah against Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda says that Tzarchei Shabbos Nasim B'Yom, that although one is not permitted to cook on Yontif for Chol, but to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, which is adjacent to the Yontif, that is allowed. And Rashi comments on this Gemara, why should it be allowed? After all, the Pasuk only says in Parashas Bo, Acha Sheyachal Chol Nefesh Ulevado Yosa Lachem, so the Chumash seems to indicate that only Malach is done on Yontif for Yontif, but Malach is done on Yontif for any other subsequent day, even if it will be tomorrow the Shabbos, should not be allowed. The Rashi and the Ramban comment on that Gemara. Why does Rav Chizda think Tzarchei Shabbos Nasim Yontif? Rav Chizda is of the opinion that when you have a Shabbos and a Yontif next to each other, Yontif falls out either on a Friday or on a Sunday, so he's of the opinion that Kedusha Achasein, that it's one long Kedusha Sayom that extends to 2 days. That's how Rashi and the Ramban interpret in Rav Chizda's Shita, that Tzarchei Shabbos Nasim Yontif, because Kedusha Achasein, the Shabbos and Yontif can't hasmuchem zel azeh, constitute one Kedusha Sayyam.
Not like Rosh Hashanah.
Right, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaRif, right, that's right. Right, so Rashi and the Ramban say that's the reason why Rav Chizda allows cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, Min HaTorah is permissible to cook, the whole Erev Tavshilin institution is only with the Rabbanan. And Min HaTorah, one may cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, which is right following the Yom Tov. So why is it allowed? Rav Chizda says, because Tzarchei Shabbos Nasim Yom Tov, what does that mean? So Rashi says that the Shabbos and the Yom Tov Hasmuchim Zelazeh constitute one long Kedusha Sayyam to Yom Arif. Lemaisa, we don't pass like that. That's the machlekes in the Mishnah in Erevin. When you have Shabbos v'Yom Tov Hasmuchim Zelazeh, are they Kedusha Achas or are they Shtei Kedushas? So the Mishnah says we pass like the Shtei Kedushas, they're not Kedusha Achas. And the Mishnah has an Akamine. If you want to have an Erev Eitchumen, everyone is allowed to walk within the whole city, and you can walk outside of the city to a certain limit, till the point of Tchum Shabbos. And past that night, what if a person has a great interest in traveling and going on Shabbos and Yontif past the Tchum Shabbos or past the Tchum Yontif? So you have to make that area, so you leave the box of matzahs, it's out to a certain distance, and that place where you left your box of matzahs, it's considered your makom, and then you draw a different area. You're allowed to go alpayim amos or 2,000 amos around that box of matzahs. So the Mishnah has, and the Mishnah in the Sugin Erevin, have a machlokas atanoim. When you have Shabbos next to Yontif, can I leave, let's say, on the first day, Yontif, let's say Shavuos, it's Friday, I want to have an Erev Tchumen to go to the right. And on Shabbos, I want to leave an Erev Tchumen to go to the left. So let's say if you have one day, let's say the Shabbos, and I want to have an Erev Tchumen on Friday night to go to one direction, on Shabbos afternoon to go to a different direction. So the Mishnah says you can't have a different Erev for different parts of the day. You have to have one Erev Tchumen for the whole day of Shabbos, one Erev Tchumen for the whole day of Yom. So here the Machlokas HaTanaim is, what if I have Shabbos of Yom Tov Hasmuchim Zelozeh, which are adjacent next to each other, the Yom Tov either falls out on a Friday or on a Sunday. So do we say that they constitute one Kedusha Achas? It's one long Yom Arichta, and whatever is your Tchum Shabbos for the first day will be a Tchum for the entire unit of the 2 days. And he say, no, that the Shtei Kedusha same. You can have a separate Erev for the first day and a separate Erev Tchumim for the second day. The Gemara says explicitly in Erev and that's how we pass. We pass the Shabbos of Yom Tov, a Shtei Kedusha same. It's not Kedusha. So once you assume that Shabbos of Yom Tov are Shtei Kedushas, that according to Rashi and the Ramban, this reasoning of Rav Chizda is rejected. Rav Chizda wants to understand, how is one permitted to cook this week? How can you cook on Shabbos? How can you cook on Yontif? For Shabbos, there's a malach, you're not allowed to cook on Yontif. You're not allowed to cook on Yontif stand for the weekdays. The only thing you're permitted to cook on Yontif is for Yontif, for Echel Nefesh of Yontif. So how can you cook on Yontif for Shabbos? Rav Chizda claims, it's all one Kedusha Acha, Shabbos and Yontif blend in to constitute one big Kedusha Sayyoyim, and you're cooking today, for tomorrow is considered for the today of Kedusha Sayyoyim. It's the same tradition, Sayyid. But we don't paskin like that. La halacha, we paskin that Shabbos v'yontif hasmuchim zeh lazeh are shtei kedushas. It's not kedusha achas. So that's why Rabbah has to give there in the sugya Pesachim Daf Mem Vav. Rabbah gives a different explanation. Why is it permissible to cook on yontif for Shabbos? The whole institution of Erev Tavshilin is only the Rabbanon, but Minatari, you're permitted to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, but that Erev Tavshilin. So what is the Yisayda Heter? You're cooking on Yontif, and you're going to eat the food not on Yontif. Why is it allowed? So Rabbi gives a whole difficult explanation, and he says, we have a cloud, this is Rabbi's original Chiddush, we have a din that Eichal Nefesh is Mutar on Yontif. That doesn't only mean that if the one who is cooking the food on Yontif personally intends to eat that food, he intends to eat it himself, even if he plans to give it to guests, it's also Eichal Nefesh. Even if he doesn't plan to give it to the guests, what if he's cooking on Yontif and he plans to save the food for next week? He's going to go on a trip, Yimos HaChol, on the weekdays. He's cooking on Yontif for Yimos HaChol, but the food could have been eaten on Yontif. So Rabbi says, if not only is it called Eichal Nefesh, if you have Kavona specifically to eat the food on Yom Tov, or to have some guests eat the food on Yom Tov, even if you have intention, Bedavka, not to eat it on Yom Tov, you're going to put it away in the freezer and eat it next week on the weekdays. But since theoretically this food could have been eaten on Yom Tov, that too is called Eichal Nefesh, Minatoyra. That's called Hoil. Hoil, since Imikle Le'archem Chazi Le'et, guests would drop over unexpectedly. They would be able to eat up the fruits, even though when I cooked this food on Yom Tov, I did not intend at all to give it to the guests. I cooked the food intending to put it in the freezer and eat it next week on the weekdays. Nevertheless, the situation set itself up as one of Eichal Nefesh. Eichal Nefesh, according to Rabbi, in order to be Mutar on Yom Tov, doesn't necessarily have to have Kavanas Agavra. You don't have to have specifically a mind that you plan to eat the food, or some other Jewish people will be eating this food on Yom Tov, or maybe eating the food on Yom Tov, even if you have explicit intention that after not eat the food on Yom Tov. But there is a theoretical possibility that it could have been eaten on Yom Tov. That too is called Eichal Nefesh. That's what Rabbi says. If you cook treifa food on Yom Tov, that neither you are allowed to eat nor any other Jewish people are permitted to eat, then there's no hoyel, then it's not called Eichal Nefesh. Then it's tacos. But if, whenever you cook kosher food on Yom Tov, it could have been eaten on Yom Tov, then Rabbi says, min ha-Torah, this is all permissible. So now, Tosis comments on that Gemara. What is the difference, halacha lemaisa, between the explanation of Rabbi as opposed to the explanation of Rav Chisda? Halacha lemaisa, the din is that Minatari permitted to cook the food on Yom Tov for Shabbos. With the Rabban, you have to make an Erev Tavshil. Minatari is muta. Without the Erev Tavshil, with the Rabban, it's only allowed if you did make an Erev Tavshil. But halacha lemaisa, it's the same thing. Is there any difference at all? So Tosis says, yes, the difference is, what if, let's say, on Friday afternoon, late in the afternoon, the woman, the balabas, is about to ben shlich, let's say the shkia is, what time? 7:45? 7:40 approximately. So balabas wants to ben shlich, 7:45. So she'll put on a tshalom on top of the, for Shabbos, for Yom Tov, you don't need a blech, but for Shabbos you need a blech. So she'll put on the blech, and she'll put on a tshalom with raw potatoes and raw beans and everything, put it on the fire, on Yom Tov, and then she's going to ben shlich. Now this cholent that she just put up is going to begin to cook on Yom Tov, but it won't be edible for Yom Tov. The potatoes and the beans, everything is still going to be raw. So in this case, the woman is doing the malacha on Yom Tov for Shabbos, purely for Shabbos, we're in a situation where it couldn't have been eaten. It's impossible to eat this food on Yom Tov. Or let's say the balabasta will ben shlich, let's say 5 to 8, and she'll put on a kettle of cold water on top of the blech right before lichbenshin. And the fire under the blech is not such a high fire, and it's going to take an hour until the water is going to get cooked enough, sufficiently heated, that it'll be shaykh to drink it as a cup of coffee, a cup of tea. So she's cooking food on Yom Tov for Shabbos in such a way that this food would not have been roi l'achil on Yom Tov. So Tosis says this is the major difference, halacha l'maaseh, between the explanation of Rabbi and the explanation of Rav Chisda. Why is one permitted to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos? If you say like Rav Chisda, the Shabbos and Yom Tov constitute one kedusha, kedusha achas, and therefore, Tzarchi Shabbos Nasim B'Yom Tov, you're permitted to cook all you want on Yom Tov for Shabbos because it's one long hemshech of a Kedusha Tayyom. Then you can even put up the food the last minute on Yom Tov in the afternoon and have it cook into Shabbos and everything is okay. However, since Nikar Adin Tosis says we don't pass like Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda's opinion of Tzarchi Shabbos Nasim B'Yom Tov is based on the assumption that Shabbos and Yom Tov are Kedusha Achas. And we don't pass. The Gemara says explicitly, Halacha Ka'abor Zekeinim, the Gemara says we pass like the four older Tanoim who hold the Shabbos of Yom Tov Asmuchim Zelas, there are steak dishes. So why is it that we allowed with the Erev Tavshil, why do we allow cooking on Yom Tov Shabbos? So the Heker is based on Rabbi's idea that Hoyel V'Mikolach M'Chazilei Hashtanami Chazilei, that any food that you cook on Yom Tov that theoretically could have been used on Yom Tov, even though L'maisa you don't plan to eat it on Yom Tov, since it could have been eaten up on Yom Tov, therefore it's also called Eichel Nefesh Min HaTorah. The Taisa says that only applies if you put the food up so early in the day on Yom Tov that the food could have been roi l'achila on Yom Tov. But he's going to put it up right before Shkia, the Sof HaYom, so late in the day, that the food would not be right, achil on yontif, then you're simply doing malach on yontif for Shabbos, which is not allowed, which is basically not allowed. So the Magen Avraham quotes this thesis in Hilchos Erev Tavshilin on the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, therefore, the proper practice is that whenever you make an Erev Tavshilin, and the woman wants to, the wife, let's say, wants to prepare the food on Yom Tov for Shabbos, so she should put the food on not right before Licht Benchen, not so late in the afternoon. She should put up the food to warm up for Shabbos early enough in the afternoon. She doesn't have to put it up 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Yom Tov. She should put it up an hour before Yom Tov or so, so that there's enough time that the food should be ready, that if anybody theoretically wants to eat that food on Yom Tov, it would be Royal Achim. So therefore, the Magen Avraham writes in his section of Europe, they had a minhag that whenever you have Yom Tov and Shabbos Hasmuchim Zelazeh, and you make an Erev Tavshilin, the minhag was bedavke to bench lift early and to dav ma'ariv early. Bedavke to dav ma'ariv early, so that the woman would have to put up the food an hour before. If they're going to be in Kabul Shabbos an hour before the Shkia, let's say, or Plaga Minchatan, so the woman has to bench lift an hour before, so she has to put up the chomp an hour before, or the coffee, or whatever she's cooked with, the soup, or whatever. So that the Hechreyach, whatever food she's putting up, will be Roy Lachilo by the time the Shabbos really begins. It won't be ready by the time she's Mekabel Shabbos. But it's still going to be Yontif for another hour, just because she's Mekabel Shabbos early. She doesn't chase away the Yontif. It's going to remain Yontif till the Shkia time. So the food will be ready to be eaten on Yontif.
Same thing applies with Friday's call. A regular Friday.
You mean before you put it on the blech? Yeah. That's a big shaila in the Shulchan Aruch. The pashtus in the din is that not. Pashtus is whenever you have a blech, you can put on raw, cold water, ice cold water, and raw food, mamish on the blech. Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Shulchan Aruch, and that simon quotes that Rashba, that even if you have a blech, you're not permitted to put on completely raw food. You have to have the food, it should be a little bit nizbashel in advance. But Nikar Adin, it's really mutter. Soloveitchik tells the story about a couple who came to him to get divorced many years ago in Boston. The husband was always screaming that his wife is Mechal Shabbos. So, well, what was the issue? They were both religious people. She was from a Litvisha home, and her mother used to do like they did in the Litvin. He used to put on cold water on the plech right before the bench lift. And he was from a Galiciana family. And he remembered that his mother used to do like Rabbi Kivega said. That was the practice in Galicia, that they would completely cook up the water in advance. And then when they put the plech on and they were bench lift, the water would already be burning hot. So the husband was always screaming at his wife for a couple of years that she's Mechal Shabbos, she has to do it his way. And she said her mother was a very religious woman, that's the way her mother did, and that's what she's going to do. So he explained to them, you have to get divorced about this. Nikar Adin, the dinner that's really mutter. Yeah. So Lamaisa, this year, in a regular Shavuot, when the both day Shavuot fall out on the weekdays, so regarding the second night of Shavuos, whether there's a kapeda or not, bedavke to daven or to make kiddush after tzeisat kachav, we mentioned that's the argument between the Knesset Hagdola and the Prima Gorim. And the Prima Gorim says that it's not necessary to daven bedavke late. And the second night of Shavuos, you don't have this chumrah of the Masas Binyam and davke to daven after tzeisat kachav. But this year, when the second night of Shavuos is Shabbos and you make an erev tavshilin, so the Magen Avraham says there's a minig in many places bedavke faker, bedavke to be mekabel Shabbos early, in order that the women, for what purpose? In order to encourage the women to put up the food on top of the plech before they'll bench lift, so that whatever food they put up will be prepared already in Bo Yom, and it should be Roy Lachil on Yom Tov. Because we really pass him like Rabbi, that the heter of Erev Tavshilin, why is it mutter min haTorah to cook on Yom Tov and Shabbos? Because the food is Roy Lachil on Yom Tov, even though you don't intend to eat it on Yom Tov, you intend to eat it on Shabbos, but since theoretically it could have been eaten on Yom Tov, so that's why it's mutter to cook the food on Yom Tov and Shabbos. So then it's only allowed if you put it up early enough on Yom Tov, that it could have been prepared, that it could have been very lucky then. Cholent is the problem, yeah. The way we make cholent, it takes a long, long time to prepare, so then the Magen Avraham would say, you're not allowed to put up a cholent.
As long as the listener could eat it, the Rav is on a hurry to eat it, it's like partially cooked.
Right, if it's very lucky a little bit, but the cholent, I think, is even very lucky a little bit, if you just leave it up for an hour, half an hour. Still wrong. On Shavuos, we have a special minhag. Normally, on every Shabbos and Yom Tov, the practice is that people eat fleishik. People eat meat meal, basar v'yayin. Why do we have basar v'yayin b'layla and basar v'yayin b'yom? Because the Gemara says that there's a mitzvah of kibud and a mitzvah of onig. We explain. Mitzvah of onig is the enjoyment of Shabbos and Yom Tov on the Yom Tov and Shabbos proper. And mitzvah of kibud, the Ramagan explains, means the hachonis and the preparation that we do in advance of the Shabbos and in advance of the Yom Tov. So what exactly is the mitzvah of kibbutz? So the Gemara speaks of kvod yom and kvod laila. There's a mitzvah for mechabed the nighttime of Shabbos, and a mitzvah for mechabed the daytime of Shabbos. Doesn't really mean kvod yom in the definition. According to the definition of the Vilna Gaon, kibbutz really means the preparation that you do in the kvod yom. Really means the onik. There's an onik by laila and there's an onik by yom. The Gemara calls it kvod yom and kvod laila. That's the lashon of Gemara. So the Gemara says that kvod yom odif from kvod laila. That the, let's say, if a person has a special delicacy that he enjoys very much, chopped liver, or gefilte fish, or whatever, or cholent, or whatever is the special delicious meichel, and you have an alternative, either if you have enough for both meals, it's good to have for both. But if you only have enough for one meal, years ago, that your clients were so poor, they could barely afford anything. So if you only have enough for one of the two meals of Shabbos, to have the special delicacy, which meal should you save the delicacy for? The meal by yom and the meal by laila? So the Gemara says that kvod yom odif mikvod laila, that the suda by yom should be fancier than the suda on Friday night. And the Magen Avraham quotes from the Zohar that the Zohar says haket, that the kvod laila is odif mikvod yom machleik, whether the suda the night should be more chashuv and more enhanced than the suda by yom. But both from the Gemara and from the Zohar, whichever way you say, but they both say one, they have both have one thing in common, that the mitzvah of oneg on Shabbos is not one mitzvah that lasts for the whole 24 hours. There's a separate kvod yom and a separate kvod laila, a separate mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos by laila, the Leil Shabbos and the Leil Yontov, and a separate mitzvah of oneg, the Yom HaShabbos and the Yom HaYontov. So it's for this reason that, and in fact, the Gemara in the end of Yuma, in the last period of Yuma, has separate psukim that one who does malacha on Yom Kippur by laila is chayv kares, one who does malacha on Yom Kippur by yom is chayv kares, one who eats on Yom Kippur by laila is an avere and a chayv kares, and the person who eats on Yom Kippur in the daytime is chayv kares. The Tesis points out, you see that it's an interesting Gemara. You don't just say, well, Yom Kippur is also b'achil and it's also b'malachi. You say the nighttime is also and the daytime is also. Sounds like every Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur has two parts, but you have the Laila and you have the day, and you need psukim for each half of the Kedusha Sayom. So it's because of this idea that on every Shabbos and Yom Tov there is really a mitzvah of Onig b'Laila and Onig b'Yom. So that's why we have a fleshig meal with basar v'yayin both b'Laila and b'Yom. So the same is true regarding Shavuos also. The proper thing is to have a sudas. For people normally enjoy basar v'yayin, so the proper thing is to have basar v'yayin both b'Leil Yom Tov and b'Yom HaYom Tov. And Shavuos, the Ramah quotes that in addition to the fleshig meal b'yayin, we should also have a little milchiks. Unlike every other Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't bother to have milchiks, we just have a fleshig meal b'Laila and a fleshig meal b'yayin. Then Shavuos is a different cheshbon. And Shavuos, you should be makpid to have before you have the morning meal of fleshiks, you should have also some milchiks. What's the reason for this? There are many reasons are given, but the Ramah gives the following reason. That on Shavuos there was a special korban that was offered in the Beis HaMikdash that's called the Shtei HaLechem. In fact, there's a perek in Menachos, that's the Masechta we were learning a little bit this year, that's entitled Perek Shtei HaLechem, all about the special dinim of how the Shtei HaLechem had to be baked, and where they were baked, and what you did with it, and which korbanos were offered in conjunction with the Shtei HaLechem. It came together with additional korbanos of the Behemoth. So the Shtei HaLechem were offered on Shavuos every year in the Beis HaMikdash. Two matzahs, two special matzahs. These matzahs were Gradei Chometz Dik. The Gemara says the Shtei HaLechem, unlike all other karbonos offered in the Beis HaMikdash, were the only karbonos that were made from Chometz. And that's why the Gemara says they had a special chashivah. They were more chashiv than the other matzahs that were kosher l'Pesach, because here they were bedavka Chometz Dik. So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, that all year long on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, when you say Hamotzi on Lecha Mishneh, the practice was, in the Shulchan Aruch, right, the practice was that the people would only cut one challah and eat that one challah. They wouldn't cut both. And sure, the Vilna Gaon says it's not right. The Vilna Gaon passes like the Rashbon, like the Zohar, that the proper thing is to cut both challahs. And he says that the Chassidim quote the Zohar, but the Chassidim say Hamotzi on two challahs and have another 10 challahs on the table, based on the Zohar, that the Zohar says that on Shabbos they used to put the Lechem Hakonim on the Shulchan, in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, every Shabbos, and the Lechem HaKonim was 6 and 6, and added up to 12. That's why the Zohar says it's proper to have 12 chalas on the table on Shabbos. So the Chassidim HaMakru, they have 10 chalas on the table, and say Hamotzi on 2 chalas, it adds up to 12. You always have 12 chalas on the table, reminiscent of the Lechem HaKonim in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Vilna Gaon says that it's a misprint, and the Zohar shouldn't say Yud Beis Chalos, it should say Yud Beis Chatzoin. And he quotes the Rashba, who says in Brachas, that when you say Hamotzi on Friday night on the two challahs, you have to cut both challahs. If you only cut one challah, so the challah that you don't cut is like it's still in the bakery. How is that mitzvah to the Lechem Mishnah? Whatever challah you don't cut doesn't count. So if Friday night you have two challahs, you cut both. Shabbos morning you have two challahs, you cut both. Shabbos Shulis you have two challahs, you cut both. So you had six challahs, which you cut in half. So you have 12 half challahs. So he says that's what the Zohar said. You have Yud Beis Chatzoin. Not Yud Beis Chalas. Not that you have to have all 12 Chalas at the same time. With the all of the meals, all the three suitors that you'll have on Shabbos will add up to a sum total of 6 Chalas, each one cut in half, which will add up to 12 Chatzon to 12 half Chalas. So that's how you have your Zeicha to the Lechem apart. That's how the Vilna Goyim says. The Vilna Goyim passes like the Rashbo, that for Lechem Mishnah you have to cut both Chalas. The Chalas that you don't cut is not mitzvah to the Lechem Mishnah. But in the Shulchan Aruch they don't pass like that. Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, and everybody writes that you only cut one Chalas, and that's sufficient. So on Shavuos, the Ramban wants to encourage everybody to cut both challahs. What's the kfeida on Shavuos to cut both challahs? Because in the Beis HaMikdosh on Shavuos, there was a special korban offer that was called the Shtei HaLechem, and the Shtei HaLechem was 2 challahs, so in order to have a zecher, the Shtei HaLechem, you want to cut the both challahs on Shavuos. Fine. So Zog, cut the both challahs on Shavuos. No, so the Ramban says the minig was that they introduced having a milchid meal first, and then switching to fleishiks in the middle of the meal. And we have a din in Shulchan Aruch here today that for both of the challah purposes, time to the Shulchan Aruch, they had time to the mother Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have forks and knives. So when they'd be eating cheese, they'd be eating with their fingers, or the milk would get on the fingers. And you have the cholent, or the shirayim, so you eat it with your fingers' mouth. You don't eat it with a spoon or with a fork. So a very modern invention, very, very recent invention. Until very recently, they didn't really have such, they had big spoons to take out from the pot. They didn't take it out from the pot with their fingers, but then as far as eating, the common thing that people ate with their fingers. So maybe there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that if the fingers are all full of milchiks and you're eating from the challah, so you shouldn't use the remainder of that challah for a fleishig meal. So the Ramah writes, this is the way to force everybody to cut the both challahs on Shavuos. The minig really is not to have milchiks on Shavuos. The Ramah says the minig is to cut both challahs, unlike every Shabbos and Yom Tov. When the Ramah says, not like the Vilna Gaon, you only cut one challah, you have 2 challahs and cut one, and you eat the one, the other one you put away. So on Shavuos, we want to cut both to make a zeicher to the Shtei HaLechem, the special korban that was offered on Shavuos. How do you make the zeicha just by cutting shtei alechem? The people won't want to cut it. So in order to encourage everybody to cut the shtei alechem, so the minig developed that you have first the milchig meal, and then you eat the one challah. And then when you switch in the middle, you have to wash your hands, and then you have to rinse your mouth, make sure you don't have any cheese or milk in the mouth. And then when you're ready to eat the fleishik, then you have to switch to use the other challah. You can't use the same challah as you had before, because we're afraid it may be full of milchig grease. So this is just a gimmick. The minik to have milchik is not really a kpeida to have milchik. The minik really is to cut both challahs on Shavuos to make a zeicha v'shtei alechem. That's what the Ramah says. It's a little difficult explanation because he could have just said cut both challahs and fartik. What do you have to make everybody have milchik and have fleishik, make agan tzemach? But that's what the Ramah claims. The Paskim discussed the shaila: is this allowed? Are you allowed to have milchiks and then switch right in the middle of the meal and have fleishiks in the same meal? Of course, the Gemara says you have to wash your hands off. Then you have to rinse the mouth out or chew some challah in the mouth in order to get whatever cheese happens to be stuck in between the teeth. Is that sufficient or is it necessary to bench to say Brichas HaMazon in between the milchig meal before you, and then you have to wash all over again and then have the fleishig meal? So Meikar Adin, the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah, he tells you look at the other day and Hilchas Basal V'Chala, Meikar Adin is absolutely nothing wrong with it. Just wash your hands and rinse your mouth and everything is clean and then you have the fleishigs in the same meal. However, in Yoreh Day, they quote from the Zohar, that in the Zohar, HaKadosh, it says that one is not permitted to have fleishiks and milchiks with suda achas in one meal. So according to the Zohar, it is necessary to recite the Birchas HaMazon after the milchig meal, and then to wash all over again, if you want to wash again, and then continue with the fleishig meal. The only question is that since the poskim don't hold like the Zohar halacha, Mikra Adin we hold, that it's not necessary to wash. So the question is, perhaps if it's not necessary to bench Birchas HaMazon and then to say shahakal again on the fleish, or to wash again and then bench again. So the shayla is maybe this is the garden drach hashem etzricha. According to the poskim who passed him based on the nigla, passed him based on the gemara and the Talmud Bavli, that there's nothing wrong with having first milchiks in the meal and then rinsing the hands and cleaning the mouth out, then having fleishiks in the same meal. So you can just wash your hands in your mouth and continue to eat the fleishiks in the same meal. The question is, if one wants to be machmer for the Zohar, is it allowed or not? Maybe this is a violation of the garden drach hashem etzricha. This is a deal that Rav David Zvi Hachman discusses in his Tshuva Sefer Milan Lahar. He discusses, is one allowed to be machmer for the Zohar or not? Because according to the Poskim, according to the Nigla, it's a shayla of Garim Bracha Shenet Zvi. Mikra Adin, we don't follow the Zohar. Mikra Adin, we eat in the same meal. You have milk and sniflation in the same meal. In conjunction with the Korban Shtei Alechem, this special Korban that was brought on Shavuos, there were additional Korbanos offered, Korbanos of animals. This is over and above the Korbanos HaMusafim. In Parshas Pinchas, we have all of the Musafim listed off for every the special additional korbanos that were offered on Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos and Yom Tov, Machal Moed, Yom Kippur, and so on. Then, in addition to those korbanos on Musafim, On Shavuos, we brought the Shtei Alechem, which is not listed with the Musafim, and in conjunction with these Shtei Alechem, these two Chometz Dikamatzes, there was a whole series of Karbonis offered. So the Pots can raise a question over here. When we daven Musaf, the idea of davening Musaf is in the Shalma forms for Sein, that we want to pay up, the Novi says in Trei Aser, that we should pay up with our lips, by the davening of Musaf, we should bring the Karbonis Ayidei HaTfilas. Since it's not the Samigdash today, and we are unable to offer the Karbonis in reality, so the Navi tells us at least we should speak about the Karbonis. So that's one. When we daven Musaf, we mention all the Karbonis. So perhaps we should also mention these Karbonis that were offered in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. This is the Shaila that the post can raise. So the Baal HaTanya came up with his Chiddush, that on Shavuos, instead of saying the regular Nusach, like you say, like it's printed in the regular Machzorim, the regular Sidurim, you mention all the different Karbonis on Musaf, and then you end off with Soil HaChaper. On Shavuos, one should say, Yishnei Sidurim HaChaper. Which is the, what are the Shnei Sidurim HaChaper? Because in addition to the offered along with the in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem that was specially offered on Shavuos, was a whole series of Korbanos. One of them was a Soil HaChatos. There were others also. There were Shalmei Tzibur, there were two Shekivsei Atzeres that were offered, and then there were Oilus Korbanos Oilus that were offered. So in addition to the Oilus and the two Shlamim, was also a Korban Chatos. So the Baal HaTanya claims that on Shavuos, when he daven Musaf, both on the first day and the second day, he says he should mention at the end of the Korbanos, not say Soil HaChatos, but rather say Shnei Tzirim HaChatos. The question is, but why only mention the Korban HaStoyer that was offered? The Soil HaChaper that's offered in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem, and what about the Kivsi Atzeres? What about the Korban Shlomim that they brought? What about the Korban HaSoila that were brought in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem? Why only the Korban Chatos? So the Achronim explains, Baal HaTanya doesn't explain it. He just changes the Nusach. He says that on Shavuos you should say that Nusach. So the Achronim explained that he feels that the Iker Din of Neshama from Svaseinu applies to Korban Chatos. That's what Taisa says in Megillah. The most important idea of paying, offering the Karbonis by speaking about them, applies to a Karbon Chatos. Then in addition to that, if I mention Chatos, I mention the other Karbonis as well. So the Baal HaTanya didn't want to make too obvious a shinui in the Nusach HaTfilah. Start introducing a whole series of Karbonis. It'll shake everybody up. Everybody's going to wonder what's going on. So he felt that at least we should mention the Karbon Chatos. That additional Karbon Chatos that's offered in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem should be mentioned. The other Karbonis Nishgifel. The Baal HaTanya has another interesting point regarding the Nusach HaTfilah. On the second day Shavuos, well, we mentioned both the Karbonis and Bavidav Musaf, so we mentioned in the Shemoneh Esrei the Musafim of Shabbos, and then we list off the Musafim of Yom Tov because it has a double Kedushas Hayom, so you have to offer two sets of Musaf. So in many Siddurim it says, after the Karbon Shabbos is recited, so it says, their Karbon Shabbos, the Karbon HaYom Kamur. We just said what the Karbon Shabbos is, and now we're going to mention what the special Musaf of today is. So the Baal HaTanya quotes from Rashi. Rashi writes in Sefer Pardes, that's Rashi's Sefer Psak. Rashi on the Gemara is a Meforish, he's a commentary. But Rashi has a Sefer Psak, several Svarim of Psak Allah written by his Talmidim. But Rashi writes in Sefer Pardes that it's not proper to mention that, that this is not part of the Nusach HaTfilah. It wasn't composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, this one line, Zekor Shabbos Karbonah and Kamor. And he says, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam can figure out which is the Karbonis of Shabbos and which is the Karbonis of Yom Tov. We don't have to tell him which is which. He'll understand how. We're reading from his Torah. How do we say?
This is for us.
People are there. We're saying, you dictated this to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then we say, V'yam HaShabbos Nechalas V'Nesham HaTmimim. And we say, V'yam HaBikurim. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam can figure out that that's the Karbonis HaMasof of Shabbos. And these are the Karbonis HaMasof of Shavuos, and there's no need to mention this one. So that's where the Baal HaTanya deleted that line in the Siddur, and he quotes in the name of Rashi and Sefer Pardes, it's not proper to mention that. The Magen Avraham points out that although normally we assume that Kriyas HaTorah is only a Takonis Chachamim, it's only Midirabbana, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakim Kriyas HaTorah on Sheni V'Chamishi on Monday and Thursday and on Shabbos, and on Yom Tovim as well, but there are certain Kriyas that are Minatorah, certain times of the year that you have Kriyas HaTorah Midiraisa. Which are those? So we know Parsha Zohar, it makes a big fuss about Parsha Zohar, and then the Shulchan Aruch quote about Parsha Sporah, possibly, once a year you have to learn Parsha Sporah. So here the Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Ramban on Chumash that the Kriyas HaTorah on Shavuos is one of those Zechiros, it's like a Parsha Zohar. It's a Parsha that you have to learn once a year every year because the Chumash says in Chumash Dvarim, we should always remember every year Maimon HaSinai. And the Yalkut Shimoni comments on that Pasuk, how are you supposed to remember Maimon HaSinai? Zachar HaYom HaShem Aratu Lefnei HaShem HaKech B'Chorei. You should remember the day of Maimon HaSinai. How should one remember? Samarata. So how does one remember? So one might think that you remember Balev, just to keep it in mind, that there was a Maimon Har Sinai. So the Yalkut Shimoni says, no, you have to have Bepeh. And Yalkut derives it from Sukkim. That's exactly the same as Parsha Zohar. The Chires Chet Amalek, the Gemara Megillah derives from Sukkim, that it's a din derais, you have to learn it once a year, every year, and it has to be Dabke Bepeh. Mikach HaKsav, to learn from the Sefer Torah. So the Magen Avraham says that the same is true, he quotes from the Ramban and from the Yalkut Shimoni, the same is true that once a year, every year, we have to learn Parshas Maimon Har Sinai. So one can fulfill this Kriya, the Araisa, either by listening to the Kriya Satorah and Shavuos, on the first day of Shavuos, or on Parshas Yisro, or on Parshas Vaschana, any one of those. So the Baal Kori and the people in Shul, everybody should have in mind that the day Yotzei, they are double mitzvah, and that's not the mitzvah Kriya Satorah, the Takanas Chachomim, to learn Kriya Satorah in every Shabbos and the others. No, these are mitzvah the Araisa, not merely a mitzvah the Rabbanon, this is a mitzvah the Araisa, but Davke to learn once a year, every year, the Parsha of Maimon Har Sinai. The Prima Gordon points out an interesting thing regarding Shavuot, that there is a pretty popular meaning in many shuls that people stay up on Shavuot night, they learn the whole night, then they daven in the morning. So usually the older people get tired and they go to sleep early, and the people who are left staying up all night are the younger guys, the kids who are just bar mitzvah. And a few people will be older people, and most of the minyan will be younger kids. So the Prima Gordon points out that we have a bit of a problem. The Ramban says on Chumash that Tfilah B'Tzibur and Yomim Tovim is a din d'oraisa. He points out it's interesting. All year long there's an argument on machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban whether Tfilah B'chol Yom is d'oraisa or the Rabbanan. The Rambam's opinion is based on the Gemara in the first Daf and Tainus, that based on Aleph, the Pasuk says in Yom, the B'chol Levavchem, and the Kriya Shema. The Gemara says in Tainus, that based on Aleph, how does one serve God in his heart? The Avodah B'chol Levavchem. Heviyam is a tefillah. So the Rambam takes that Gemara literally, that this is a mitzvah min haTorah once a day, every day, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban says, no, that that's not true. That tefillah b'chol yom, not only three times a day, even once a day, to daven once a day, every day, is only with the Rabban. It's a takonas chacham. Tefillah b'yeis tzora, that's a din derav. So that says in the Chumash, that when you have a tzora, when a person is nervous about parnasa, or someone is sick in the family, or there's a muhammad, that person is worried about a shidduch, whatever, worried about finals. Whenever the person is worried about something, the person is traveling on the road, so you daven tefillah saderech. The Ramban says, whenever the person is based tzorah, when he's worried, when he's nervous about something, and it's what to be nervous about, there's a sakana, or some kind of a danger, or something like that, then tefillah is derais. Whatever things seem to be going smoothly, then the Ramban says that tefillah is not a din derais. It's only takana sakana. So the Prima Gordon points out this is a strange situation. The Ramban is the Rishon who is of the opinion that Tfilah b'chol yom, daven once a day, every day, is not a mitzvah min haTorah, it's only a mitzvah of the Rabbanon, against the opinion of the Rambam. But on Yomim Tovim, on Shabbosim, here the Ramban disagrees and says that Tfilah is not only the Arais, that Tfilah b'tzibur is the Arais. It's a mitzvah to daven with a minyan on Shabbos and Yom Tov. How does he derive this from the Pasuk? So the Ramban bases this on the Pasuk that says, Mikra Kodesh. The Torah The Torah refers to all the Shabbos and Yamim Tovim as Mikroi Kodesh. What does it mean Mikroi Kodesh? El Mikroi Kodesh or Shetikro Osam Emo Adam? What does it mean Mikroi Kodesh? So the Ramban says that what it means is, what is Kruei Ho'eda? Kruei Ho'eda means the people who are gathered together. The assemblage, right. So Mikro Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage. What do you mean a day of holy assemblage? What do they get together to do? To play baseball, football? He says, no. They get together to daven and to learn. That Kriya Satorah is their Isa. And Shabbos and Yamim Tovim, and Tzilah B'Tzibur is the Rais and Shabbos and Yamim Tovim. The Tzibur has to get together, every community has to get everybody together in order to have Tzilah B'Tzibur on Shabbos and Yamim Tovim, and in order to have Kriya Satorah, Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. So the Ramban says that Tzilah B'Tzibur on Yamim Tovim is a din d'oraisa. The Beis Yosef in Hilchas Pesach claims, quotes this Ramban from Parshas Emor, from Chumash, and the Beis Yosef claims that the Anshit Neses HaGdolah who composed the Nusach HaTfilah held like the Ramban. Why? Because in the Tfilah that we recite for Yom Tov, we refer to every Yom Tov as Mikra Kodesh. Why do we mention Mikra Kodesh if Mikra Kodesh means not to do Malacha? Why do we mention in the middle of the Davening we're not going to do Malacha on Yom Tov? What is that? What is the Shaykhus to the Davening? So the Beis Yosef says, apparently, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah thought that Mikra Kodesh is to be interpreted like the Ramban, that it means that they have holy assemblies that everybody gets together to Daven. So he mentioned in the Davening that the fact that we're Davening now was one of the mitzvahs Hayyim. It's a special mitzvah in HaTorah to daven mitzibur on Yom. Fine. So now the Prima Gordon, based on this, jumps, he makes a major step, a giant step, and he says like this: we have a din in the Gemara. When does a person become bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah? When does a boy or a girl reach the age to become bar mitzvah? So everybody knows a boy becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 13, and a girl becomes bas mitzvah at the age of 12. However, the Gemara says that's not always the case. The Gemara says the din really is that a person becomes a gadol, a person changes from a katan to a gadol, you have to have shana v'simana. The boy or the girl has to be either 13 or 12, and then in addition to that, the person has to have shtei stiras growing on the eber haleda, on the eber hazakos and the eber hanakos. So we don't bother to check a person to make sure, let's say, when you give a boy an aliyah, and you have a bar mitzvah boy, and he's going to get an aliyah, he's going to daven for the yomim to be the shliach tzibur. So we don't bother to check to see if the kid has shtei sairis or not, because the Gemara says, with respect to dinam derabbanan, we can rely on the chazakah, and the chazakah that Rabbi says that whenever a boy or a girl reaches already the age of 12 or 13, you have the right to assume that most probably they have shtei sairis, because that's the time when physically the shtei sairis are growing on their body. But what happens when it comes to a real din deraisa? Let's say the kid wants to fill in an oyster in a sefer Torah. He wants to participate in the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah. So the din is that if the child is not bar mitzvah, it's possible. We don't allow a cotton to write. That's a din deraisa. So we have to know for sure that this boy is bar mitzvah. So Rabbi Kivega says in the Chuvis that we wouldn't allow a child who was just bar mitzvah half a year ago, to write sefer Torah, or to do the Ibud Lishma, to do anything that's necessary in Minat Torah, that you need a person who's really by mitzvah Minat Torah. We wouldn't allow the kid to do that, unless we know for sure that he already has a beard growing, so we know for sure that he has Shtei Sairis. But if we don't know, then we wouldn't rely on this Chazaka de Rabbe that the Gemara has in Nida. We wouldn't rely on Chazaka de Rabbe with respect to Dinim Derais. But let's say for a person to be a Sefer to write a get, or to be an A to sign a get, or let's say to be aided by a wedding, to be aided by Kiddushin. So there it's an issue, there it's a question of a din d'oraisa. When it comes to a din d'oraisa, so the Gemara says, we don't rely on this chazoka, that kol shehigia l'chlal shani, most probably a boy or a girl, who already are 12 or 13, most probably they already have shtei sarizos. We don't rely on that. We are machli, have to make sure that you have a person who's for sure about it. So the Prima Godin has a chidish over here. He says, when it comes to Shavuot morning, and the old timers are already gone to sleep, so who's the main people in the minyan? Are going to be young kids who are just bar mitzvah. So he says, Gevald, how do you know that they're really bar mitzvah? Maybe they're still ktanim. So maybe they're still ktanim, and you won't be mekayim the mitzvah derais of tefillah v'tzibur. That the Ramban, quoted by the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef says the Ramban is right. The Ramban claims that tefillah v'tzibur on Yom Tovim, and Shabbos on Yom Tovim, constitutes a din derais, and when it comes to a din derais, you have to be choshesh, and maybe even though the kid is already 13, maybe he's not bar mitzvah yet. Because in order to be a girl, you have to have shtei sairis as well. He says you should always make sure that you have some older people staying up also, or waking up, for the early minyan. If you're going to have an early minyan, you should make sure you have a minyan of people who definitely are bar mitzvah. Of course, regarding what the zman of shachar should be, in different shuls they daven at different times, as far as shachar. So we know that the Mishnah records that vasikin, the Hasidim, in the times of the Mishnah, used to start davening shachars well enough before sunrise, so that they would complete Kriya Shema right before Hanetzach Hama, right before the sunrise, and then they would say, then they would pause for a while. How they wouldn't know exactly when sunrise would be. They didn't have watches then, so they would always guess. They would try to guess, and then 99 times out of 100 they would guess wrong. The Ramban describes in Brachos 99% of the time they would guess wrong. So they would finish Kriya Shema thinking that it's going to be Hanetzach Hama any second, and then they would have to wait for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. There would always be a long pause in between the Kriya Shema and the Shemona Esrei, because they would wait to recite the Shemona Esrei after Hanetzach Hama. That's why the Gemara says in Brachos that once a fellow davened Kriya Shema kivasikin, and he said Kriya Shema before sunrise and Shemona Esrei right after sunrise, and he was saying Chulah L'Tfilah, and he had a smile on his face all day long. So what's the big deal? What's so difficult? You just wake up early and daven Vasikin. So the answer, the Ramban explained, the answer is that they didn't have any watches, so how could they know exactly when they're going to hit Vasikin? They would never guess right. And most of the time they would guess wrong, so they would say the Kriya Shema before Hanetzach Hama, then they would have to wait. Either wouldn't be son of Gula L'Tfilah, so they wouldn't. So they felt that this mitzvah of davening Vasikin, to recite the Kriya Shema before sunrise, and to recite the Shemona Esrei right after sunrise, this was more important than being Masmur Gula L'Tfilah. That's how they felt. So the Maisim, in most yeshivas, what they do is on Shavuos morning, when the people stay up all night, so they daven Vasikin, they have a Vasikin minyan. They start davening so well in advance, so that they will complete Kriya Shema right before Hanetzach Hama, and then they'll finish Goal Yisrael, and then they'll start the Shemona Esrei right after Hanetzach Hama. In other places, though, people are interested in finishing davening earlier, and they start to daven even earlier than that. so that they finish the whole Shemoneh Esrei Gluta Chazaras Hashatz also before sunrise. So this is the question in Poskim. The Chofetz Chaim in the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah and Hilchos Tefillah quotes a big machlokes haPoskim regarding this din. Normally we have a din, the Mishnah says in Megillah, that whenever you have a mitzvah that's supposed to be done in the daytime, like Tekiyah Shofar, or like Netilas Lulav, or like reciting of Hallel, Kosher Mitzvah Bayom, you can do the mitzvah Bayom. L'chatchila, it's not proper to begin to do the mitzvah until after sunrise, until after Hanetzach Hamad. Did the Eved, if somebody did Netilas Lulav or Tekiyah Shofar after Alos HaShachar, Alos HaShachar is an hour before sunrise, so did the Eved, you would be Yotzei the mitzvah. But l'chatchila, it's not proper to do any mitzvah that should be done by Yom before sunrise. L'chatchila, the proper thing is to wait till after sunrise. So the question is, what about Tfilah Shachris? Do we have this din l'chatchila regarding Shachris as well? That l'chatchila, it's not allowed, it's not proper to daven Tfilah HaShachar before Hanetzach Hamad, before sunrise. Let's say in the winter time, when the sunrise is so early, is there anything wrong with davening Shachris so early that you finish the whole Shemoneh Esrei, the first minute? To finish davening everything before Hanetzach Hamad, before sunrise. Is that all right or not? So most of the poskim say that this is not proper, that it's not allowed, that just like the Mishnah says regarding Hallel, regarding Tekiyah Shofar, regarding Tefillah Lulav, regarding any other mitzvah, Shizmana Bayom, Bris Milo, the proper thing is that l'chatchila you shouldn't begin to do the mitzvah until after sunrise, until after Hanetzach Hamad. So that most of the majority of the poskim assume that the same is true regarding Tefillah HaShachar, that it's not proper to daven Shachris before Hanetzach Hamad. Unless a person has to rush to work, so then we say, you're permitted to do l'chatchila, but it's normally only allowed by the Yevet. So since by the Yevet, if one would daven Shachris before Hanetzach Hamad, then he would be Yotz, as long as he davens after Alos HaShachar, about an hour or so, now and 10 minutes before the sunrise. So here, if it's a Shas HaPchak, we would allow you again. But let's say on Shavuos morning, there's no great Shas HaPchak, you can wait another half hour and start Shachris then. So most of the poskim are of the opinion that davening Shachris is the same as all other mitzvahs, that is manam bayom, that it's not proper to do the mitzvah before Hanetzach Hamad, before the actual sunrise begins. The Pri Chodosh, Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Pri Chodosh, one of the Gedolei Achronim says that this is not true, that davening Shachris was never included in this Gzeirah the Rabbanon, and he gives the following reason. He says the Mishnah states clearly, the Ramban points out, the Ramban in the beginning of Brochas, the first Ramban in Brochas points out, based on the Mishnah, that although there is such a klal in the Mishnah Megillah, that kol shem mitzvasa bayom, any mitzvah that should be done in the daytime should not be done l'chatchila before sunrise, this never applied to the hakrov v'tam shel shachar. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim would always, every day of the year, they would offer the tam shel shachar well before sunrise. That's how the Mishnah describes it in Talmud, and the Mishnah describes it like that in Yuma. Every day of the year, they would offer the Talmud before sunrise. So the question is, how come? The Ramban says, well, the Kohanim has reason hang. The Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, they were really on their toes. They had the Beis Nagoron right in the office right next to the Azara. And it was the function of the Beis Nagoron, it was their job, it was their responsibility to supervise all the offering of the Korbanos Tzibur in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a special function of the Beis Nagoron because the Korbanos Tzibur are offered on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So who's going to take care of it? So the Beis Nagoron, it's their job to supervise the Korbanos Tzibur. So since the Beis Nagoron is there and the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash has reason, we don't have this chashash that if we allow the people to do the mitzvah before sunrise, they may do it so early, they'll do it in the middle of the night before Alos HaShachar. So that Gzeirah the Rabbanon never applied to HaKrovas Talmid Shel Shachar. So the Pri Chodesh claims that since our davening of Shachris has the same zman as the HaKrovas Talmid Shel Shachar, and the Talmid Shel Shachar in the Beis HaMikdash was always offered, every day of the year was always offered before sunrise, before Hanetzach Hamad. So that shows that with respect to davening Shachris also, there is no such din l'chatchila. Not zvichas hashemesh, to see if heira mizrach. Do you see any sun rays at all? When they saw sun rays, then they offered right away. The horizon is beginning to get lit up, which happens an hour before.
Dawn.
Before, right. Dawn, which is well before an hour before sunrise, right? So they would have already offered the Talmud Shel Shachar way before sunrise. So the Pri Chodesh says, as a result of that Mishnah, he says that the same is true regarding davening Shachris. That it's permissible l'chatchila to daven Shachris all year long, even before sunrise. Hanetzach Hamad Zvichas HaShemesh is the same thing. Just two words for the same thing. But Alos HaShachar, not Alos HaShemesh, Alos HaShachar, that's 72 minutes before, that's a long time before sunrise. It's well before sunrise. So on Shavuos morning, you have the different minhagim. Some are makpe to daven dafke so close to sunrise so that the Kriya Shema will be right before sunrise, and the Shemoneh Esrei of Shachris will be right after sunrise. And others are makel like the Prichodosh, that with respect to davening Shachris, we allow Tfilas HaShachar even before sunrise. However, even those who are Mekel and daven Shachris completely before the sun rises, that's only good with respect to the davening of Shachris and the Chazoros HaShatz, the Chazan's repeating of the Shemon Esra. But then right after the Shachris, right after the davening of Shachris, everybody says Hallel. The Hallel says the Feirish in the Mishnah, that you're not supposed to recite the Hallel before the sunrise. B'diyevet, if the people said Hallel before Hametz HaChama, but it was after Alois HaShachar, B'diyevet, you would be Yotzeh. But L'chatchila, that you're definitely not supposed to do, to recite the Hallel, or let's say to Lein Kriyas HaTorah, whatever other mitzvah is mana bayom, we wouldn't allow that before Hametz HaChama. The whole machlokes between the Pichodesh and all of the other poskim is regarding the davening of Tfilos HaShachar. On Shavuos, the Maseches Sofer records a practice that was observed as Man HaTanoim, as Man HaGemara, that they would read Megillas Rus. We know that reading the Kriya of the Megillas Esther on Purim is a Takonas HaChacham, Takonas HaShek Nesagdol. When we read the Megillah, we recite the Brach HaMikra Megillah, then we recite the Brach Shech Yon. Because whenever you do a mitzvah, Habom is Man is Man, whenever you do a mitzvah that you do once a year, so you recite Shech Yonu over the excitement that you have on the occasion of doing the mitzvah. Shech Yonu v'kimonu v'yonu v'zmanazeh. The question is regarding Kriyas Megillas Ruth. So the Maseches Sofer writes that when you lay the Megillas Ruth from a klav, the Baal Korah recites a brach. If you just lay it from a printed chumash, then you don't recite any brach. But if you lay it from a klav, then the Megillas, then the Maseches Sofer says that you recite the brach al mikra megill. So the Vilna Goyen postulates, based on that Maseches Sofer, if you recite a bracha al mikra megillos, it must be that it's a takanas chachamim, that you mechuyif to lay in the megillah. Just like Megillas Esther is a takanas anshek nesagdolo, so to Megillas Ruz, it's not a takanas, we don't find it's a takanas an anshek nesagdolo, it's not that old a takanas, but it must be a takanas hatanoi, if it's recorded in Maseches Sofer, takanas tanoim, takanas amoroi, somebody made a takanas to lay in the megillah. So therefore the Vilna Goyen is of the opinion that the proper, otherwise you wouldn't recite a bracha. You don't recite a bracha if it's only a minhag. So from the fact that you recite a bracha on Mikra Megillah, that's an indication that it's really a mitzvah. And therefore the proper thing is when you're late in the Megillah's rule is to recite Shech Yonu as well.
But we have Shech Yonu from Kiddush. You said
Shech Yonu, that's the Shech Yonu on the...
No,
that's the Shech Yonu on the Yom Tov. Let's say on Rosh Hashanah also. On Rosh Hashanah we also do like that. Right, we recite Shech Yonu when we say Kiddush, that's on the Yom Tov. Then when we lay the, then when we blow the shofar, then we say another Shech Yonu.
But there's a difference here. By the Megillas Esther, you can only be in a klav. We know that's the difference. You can have your Megillas Esther the other way. Megillas Esther, if you read with a klav, you don't have to be.
Oh, so the Vilna Gaon says from the fact that the Maseches Sofer says you recite a bracha when you read it, indicates that you mechuyif to lay it from a klav, mechuyif to recite a bracha. You have to. And Mela, once you have to say a bracha, you have to say Shech Yonu as well, because it's a mitzvah habam, his mam is mam. Mitzvah that they do once a year, every year, to read the Megillah. So the proper thing is to say Shech Yonu. Others disagree with the Vilna Gaon. The common practice in Eretz Yisrael, they say Shech Yonu. Common practice in Chutz La'aretz is that nobody says Shech Yonu, and most people don't recite a bracha either. The Shaila is, what do you do? But the Maseches Sofer says that you say a bracha is not an indication that it's really a mitzvah. So Ben Mitzvah doesn't indicate anything. We assume that doesn't prove anything, because we know that the reciting of Hallel, Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, is only a minhag. The Gemara says in the end of time, it's only a minhag. And nonetheless, the common practice in most communities is that when you recite the Hallel, the Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, you do recite a bracha. So places, yes, it's a kasha. In several places, how can you say a bracha? Shekedishonu b'mitzvah, so v'tzivonu likroas a Hallel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah to read the Hallel. It's neither a mitzvah min ha-Torah nor a mitzvah min ha-Rabbanan. It's only a minhag. How can you say Kedishonu b'mitzvah, so v'tzivonu? So the Rabbi Natan says, well, either the answer is that we do, you are allowed to say a bracha on a minhag, there's nothing wrong. Or even if one does not say a bracha normally on a minhag, but a minhag, which is a kiyama mitzvah, like kriyas suvim, like reciting of Hallel, you're saying prokim from tilim. So since you are doing a mitzvah of kriyas suvim, so you can recite a bracha. The fact that you have to do it today, you have to say chatzah halam ashkharish, that's only a minhag. But even if there weren't a minhag, if you just say tilim, you'll be doing a mitzvah. So therefore, it's not a bracha about tov. Those are the two explanations that the Rabbi Natan gives. Either he says you can always recite a bracha on any minhag, let's say you have a minhag to have an Israeli, to wave an Israeli flag on Hay Ear every year. So according to one opinion of the Rabbi Natan, you can recite a bracha on that also. Whenever, if such a minhag would become nispashe, so one version in Balei HaTosfos is, if you make any minhag, you can always recite a bracha on any minhag, as long as it's a minhag that makes sense. Then the other version of the Rav Binatam, the other opinion of Rav Binatam says, no. Maybe Stam, you have a minig in the middle of nowhere, you don't say a bracha on that. A minig that is a mitzvah anyway, even if there weren't a minig, it would have been a mitzvah. To wave a flag, to have a march, is nishke mitzvah. Unless you have a minig, then maybe the minig is kaveh, that it turns into a mitzvah. But if you have a minig to recite halal, no reciting halal is anyway a mitzvah. You're reading psukim from Tehillim. So whenever the minig is a kima mitzvah anyway, even if you wouldn't have to do it mitam minog, so then when you do it mitam minog, then there's nothing wrong if you recite a bracha. So Bemis, these both explanations apply regarding Megillas Rus. Just because the Masechus Sefer says that they used to recite a bracha on Shavuos when they read the Megillas Rus, does not necessarily indicate that the reading of the Megillas Rus is really a takonas hachachamim. It could be that's only a minhag. Nevertheless, the Masechus Sefer records that they recited a bracha. You can say a bracha on a minhag, or perhaps this minhag, which is a mitzvah anyway. You're learning Megillas Rus, even if you laid it on Pesach. You read Megillas Rus on Yom Kippur, it's also a mitzvah. You're learning. It's still a mitzvah to learn Megillas Rus. It's part of the Ksuri. So that's why many poskim disagree with the Vilna Gaon, and they say just because the Masechus Sefer says you say a bracha on Mikra Megillah doesn't necessarily indicate that it's really a mitzvah. And therefore you cannot prove that you can say Shechiyonah. Shechiyonah you only recite on a Yom Tov, or on a mitzvah habom is man was man. But the reading of Megillas Rus is not necessarily a mitzvah. It could be it's only a minute. And nonetheless, the Masechus Sefer says you say a bracha. Right, that's
you
a time.
In
Eretz Yisrael, when you only have one day Yom Tov, how can you shkem brayer? So you have to lay on the first. But in Chutzlos, when we have 2 days, so we divide it up. So we say Akdamas on the
second day.
Yeah.
He says only from a cloud.
Yeah.
From a cloud.
Yeah.
But if it's a mitzvah, it doesn't matter what the mitzvah is. It's no difference. But whether you read it from a cloud or a halal, you also say when you say the halal, you don't have to read it from anything.
Right. That's what we want to discuss, the difference between the Kriyas HaTorah and the Haftorah. The Kriyas HaTorah, which we read from a klav, so the din of the Baal Korah can be moitzi everybody in the shul. But the Haftorah, which we don't, most many shuls, we don't read from a klav, so then we have a principle on the Gemara, that Ram Shebichsav, Yat Vashel Yomer Alpeh, Lehotzi Acher. You cannot be moitzi others unless you're reading from a klav. So if you're learning from a klav, then you moitzi everybody else. If you're not learning from a klav, in those shuls where the Baal Korah doesn't read the Megillas Rus from a klav, so then the proper thing is that everybody should read his own Megillas Rus. Have his own permission, read his own Megillas Rus. It's interesting, the Gemara learns out several different halachas from Megillas Rus. One of the dinim, the Gemara learns out in Shabbos, one of Shabbos learns out a din that Naomi tells her daughter-in-law Ruth she should dress up with a special dress and go to meet Boaz in the Goren that night. So she doesn't say a special dress, she just says, with something of Sayyid Halayah, and she put on a dress. The Gemara says, she's going to go without any clothes, and walk in the street without anything, yeah? The Gemara says, no, what she told her was, you should wear big day shanis. So from this pasuk, we see that they used to have 2 sets of dresses. Today, the women have many more than 2 sets of two dresses. But years ago, that they were so poor, so the Chachamim say, at least every. Shabbos the chol, you're not permitted to wear big day chol the Shabbos. The special din, the more derives it from this pasuk, the stamtsim l'sayi cholayir, that she told her for this special occasion, tachtachasne, so she should wear the big day Shabbos when she goes to meet Boaz. For the date, she should wear big day Shabbos for her date with Boaz. So it's interesting, the Gemara says in Shabbos, what happens if the person is just so poor that the imamish cannot afford to have a separate malbush for Shabbos? So then the Gemara says in the Rambam, kotzel l'alocha, that yishal shol talisa. Whatever garments he's wearing, he should wear them in a different fashion. If he wears them short, he should wear them longer. He should lower down the girdle and wear them longer. So the nice thing, we don't have such a situation. We have everybody that we know can afford 2 sets of clothing, and the kind of clothes that we wear, it's not shy to lower them and make them higher. They fit like this. They fit and you put your sleeves in. They're not the togas that you can wear lower or higher. But it's because of that Gemara and that Rambam that many Rabbanim years ago had such a practice that on the weekdays they would wear short jackets. Years ago all the Rabbanim wore long jackets. But then in the modern times, even the Rabbanim who wear short jackets during the weekdays would wear longer Prince Albert on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? It's based on that Gemara. But the Gemara and the Rambam say that if you cannot, the Gemara is talking about a case when you only have one suit, one set of clothing. And the Gemara says you're really supposed to have a different malbush Big Day Shabbos should be different from Big Day Chol. And if he can't have anything different, wear the same garment, but wear them differently. Shabbos, everything should be different from the weekdays. In fact, the Gemara says the tzuras should be different, the speaking should be, the meal should be different, that's why you have special macholim that you don't eat all week long. The millionaires could always afford to eat steaks the whole week long, but the poor people who couldn't afford anything on Shabbos, they had the bedavki, delicious meals, expensive meals. And the Gemara comments in the end of Ketubis, the Gemara comments on the pasuk in Kohelet that says, Koi mei oni roim, the tov leiv mishtatama, the poor man is always miserable all year long. The tov leiv and happy people are mishtatama, always having parties. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Koi mei oni roim, the poor man is always miserable? Well, Ika Shabbos is the Yom Tovim, he has a good time on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Even if he can't afford it, the Gemara says he has to lavu alive on Iporeya. The Gemara says you have to borrow money. If there's anyone willing to lend, you have to borrow money from the neighbors and the friends and buy special things for Shabbos, special food, special clothing, and the Rosh Hashanah will pay you back. You don't have to worry. Because whatever Parnassi is supposed to get Min HaShamayim doesn't include Tzarchei Shabbos for Yom Tov and Tzarchei Talmud Torah, and Tzarchei Rosh Chodesh. Whatever you spend on chinuch for the children and the yeshivas, and for flowers for Yom Tov and for Shabbos and for clothing and so on, that doesn't count. That's not part of the chesed. So the Gemara says, it's a din lavu alayv ani parei. You should borrow money. If you can't afford, you should borrow money for food on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, why does the pasuk say, kol yimei ani roim, kol, all the days of the Yoni are miserable, for ikar Shabbos is the Yom Tov, that the Yoni borrows money and he has a good time, he enjoys himself. So the Gemara says, yes, he does enjoy himself, but then he gets a bellyache. The Gemara says, and he gets sick, he gets nauseous, because the Gemara says, Hashino Gestes, Chilat's holding. Whenever you change your routine, so you get sick. And the Oni know that he's going to get sick. Every Shabbos he eats this chomp, and every Shabbos he gets a bellyache, and it's still a mitzvah. There's a special mitzvah, perhaps different macholim on Shabbos, and different malbushim on Shabbos, and you should walk in a different way. So the Gemara says, Shaloi, hey, hiluch al shoshabski, hiluch al shochol, and you should speak in a different way. Shaloi, hey, dibuch al shoshabski, dibuch al shochol. Everything should be different on Shabbos. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik used to tie it very often about the practice that we have, that in the summertime we're mekavel Shabbos early. So why are we mekavel Shabbos early? So those are mekavel Shabbos early because they want to enjoy the Surah Shabbos. We're going to dam Shabbos so late, they'll be already so exhausted, they'll fall asleep in the middle meal. Okay, that's one thing. But they want to have the children, they don't want to put the kids to sleep before they make kiddush. Okay. But let's say in some communities, they're makbid to be mekavel Shabbos early, in order to eat the meals the same day they eat the meals every day of the week. You should eat the same zman for supper. In many communities, the makbid, that every day, you don't want to have, let's say, you finish davening Shabbos morning, so you come home, let's say it's 11 o'clock, or let's say davening an early minyan, so whatever, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, so you're going to have a fleishig meal 10 o'clock in the morning. You have to have breakfast first. First you have a milk and breakfast. Then you go for a walk, then you have fleishigs later. How can you have fleishigs in the morning? You never do that all week long. So then this is what the Gemara says, that the Davke Shabbos should be different, the Zmanim should be different, and the meal should be different, even to the extent of getting sick, the Gemara says. And yet that is the mitzvah, that the Oni who is not used to eating delicious meals should the Davke eat the good meals on Shabbos, even though he knows that he's not going to feel too good if he finishes eating. And the Begadim should be different, everything on Shabbos should be different from the weekdays. And the Gemara derives a good part of this idea from this pasuk that Naomi told the daughter of Ruth, the samtsim lo sayach alayach, she should put on the special big day shabbos. Then of course the Gemara learns that the dinim of gerus, some of the dinim of gerus from the Megillas Rus. The main reason why we read the Megillas Rus on Shavuos, the Achronim explain it, because on Shavuos was Kabbalah Sator and Har Sinai, and at Har Sinai the whole of Klal Yisrael, the whole entire nation went through an act of gerus, and we read the Megillas Rus, which tells about the story of Rus HaMoavia becoming a Giora. In fact, it's interesting, the Ramban on Chumash comments about the Aseres HaDibros, what they're supposed to represent. Why were these mitzvahs chosen? What is it supposed to represent? So Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim quotes in the name of Rav Sadia Goen that the Aseres HaDibros are the 10 major headings of all of the Tariyag mitzvahs. And Rav Sadia Goen wrote a long poem where he classified all of the Tariyag mitzvahs under these 10 headings. These are the main mitzvahs, the main headings for all the mitzvahs. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban HaChumash writes, he thinks that just as we learn out from the Megillas Ruth, that when a ger comes to be misgayer, you have to have Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So what are you going to teach the ger? All the dinim from A to Z, Bochum learn in the yeshivas, and they learn for years and years, and they don't know the whole Shulchan Aruch. You're going to go teach the ger the whole Shulchan Aruch before he converts, it's impossible. But the Gemara says, you have to be modiyahim, before you convert, you have to be modiyahim, mitzvahs kalos, Mitzvahs, mitzvahs chamor, it's a splattering of serious mitzvahs and light mitzvahs. You have to tell him Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpocha and Tzedakah and Yichud. The Gemara learns that different things. And Abba Mitzvahs does a little bit here, a little bit there, just so you should know that Yiddishkeit is not just that you go to shul and you pray, then the rest of the day can do whatever you want. That the mitzvahs and the Torah apply all year long and all day long, at home and in the synagogue and in the street and all over. You have to tell him a little mitzvah here, a little mitzvah there. And then after he converts, then he has to, of course, learn all the dinim in order to be able to observe everything. So the Ramban claims that's all the Aseres HaDibros was, because Matan Torah, Maibar HaSinai, was an act of Gerus, and as part of that Gerus, it was essential to have Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. You had to have Modinos, and Mikzas Mitzvahs Kalos, and Mikzas Mitzvahs Chamoros. These were just a sampling of the mitzvahs. Not that the Rebbe Shlom really felt that these Aseres HaDibros are some major unit, or some major chunk of the Torah. It's just a sample representation of what the rest of the mitzvahs are like. Ramban is mechulek with this whole yisoid of the Gaonim, that the Aseres HaDibros are something special, that these are the 10 basic categories which all the mitzvahs can be classified on.
Is there a machlokes about standing up specially for the Aseres
HaDibros
and not the Rambam?
The Rambam writes in the Tshuva that it's not proper, right? The Rambam writes that it's not proper to give any more hashivas to the Aseres HaDibros than to any of the other Kriyas HaTorah. So the Rambam's minhag was that they sat, in his community they sat all the time for Kriyas HaTorah. He says that these Chadoshim, the Kor of Gold, the new people came from other parts in the world, they introduced their new minhagim that they stand up for Aseres HaDibros, they stand up for the whole Kriyas HaTorah. He says that it's not proper, they shouldn't be Mishan in a minute. Right. Some say if you want to stand up for Aseres HaDibros, the proper thing is to stand up from the beginning of the Aliyah, or from the beginning of the whole Kriyas HaTorah that day, or at least from the beginning of the whole Aliyah, not just to stand up when they get to that part when they're reading Anochi Hashem Lekech. That it shouldn't be so obvious that if you're giving so much more Hashivah to the Aseres HaDibros. No. The Gemara also learns out the Megillas Rus is the sole source of another din which is not found anywhere else, the din of Kinyan Chalipin, Kinyan Suter. The Gemara always speaks about Konami Yodah, the Kinyan Chalipin. Whenever you want to buy either karka, real estate, or metalkalin, movable items, so the Gemara says usually when you kind of karka, you have one set of kinyonim. When you want to acquire ownership of metalkalin, you have a different set of kinyonim. Below Harezek, Harezek, the kinyonim karka don't work on metalkalin, the kinyonim metalkalin don't work on karka. And here there's a pasuk that says, L'kayen kol dovah. This works to anything, aspirin, whatever sickness you have, headaches, neuritis, neuralgia, whatever you have, you take this thing and it's good. So here the pasuk says that this kinyan suder, which we call a kinyan chalipin, works for anything. L'kayen kol dovah. How do you do kinyan suder? So the Gemara has the whole machloket based on the pasuk here. Pasuk discusses very difficult parsha. The pasuk discusses the way Boaz was buying something from Tov, who was a closer relative to the members of the family of Ruth and Naomi than Boaz was. And they had a practice in those times, this is not really a din, the din in the Torah is a little different. The din in the Torah is that if a person sold his property, sold his field in Eretz Israel to somebody else because he needed money, so then the Torah has a mitzvah of gulas krovim. Whoever is the closest relative has a mitzvah to buy back the field from the one who bought it from his relative. This din only applies in Eretz Israel. So here, in the times of the Nevi'im, they had a minhag, not only after the person had already sold the field, do you have the mitzvah of gulas krovim. If the person is so poor that he has to sell his field, he's about to sell it, so the minhag was that they would have the closest relative buy it from him. Not that you wait till the poor fellow sells it, and then you have the korov buy it back from the lokeah. The korov should buy it directly from his relative who is in need of money, who's about to sell. So the Novi describes over here, Megillas Ruth, his parrot describes, the way Tov was a closer relative of Naomi and Ruth than Boaz was, and according to the Minig, this is not the real din, according to the Minig, the one who was the closest relative has the skus to do this mitzvah alpi Minig, of buying the karka from the relative. So Tov had the skus, so Boaz asked him, do you want to use that skus, or do you give me rishut to do this mitzvah, this Minig, of buying the field from the Kroyot. So Tov gave him Rishut. He's Merchel on his mitzvah. He's Merchel on his skutz. That he should be the one. Since he's a close relative, he has the skutz to do the mitzvah. He was Merchel on his skutz. So the din basically is whenever you do a mechila in a tzricha kinyan. Let's say if I owe you $1 million and you Merchel the debt, you say, you absolved me of my debt, I don't have to pay you. And then later on you get angry and you decide, no, why should you give me $1 million? You want me to pay the money. So then the din is mechila in a tzlicha kinyan. Even though we never made any kinyan, we never made a ma'aseh kinyan, the din still is that I don't have to pay the money. Once you're mechil orally, just bal peh, so you're unable to collect the chayv. So although normally the din is you only need a kinyan when you want to transfer ownership of something. I have a chumash, I want to give you the ownership of the chumash. I own a house, I want to give you ownership of the house. Then you need a ma'aseh kinyan. I want to obligate myself to give you $100 in the middle of nowhere. I don't owe you any money. I want to create an obligation that I hereby owe you money. For that, you need a ma'aseh kinyan. But if Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon is merchel the debt, then Tosfos has a long series of proofs in Sanhedrin, the above, and Aleph. Tosfos has a long arichas where they show that mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan. The Rambam also writes like that. Nevertheless, here we see clearly in the Megillas Ruos that that's what was going on. Tov, that was the fellow's name who was the closer relative, Tov was merchel on his chus. Although he was the closer relative, he was a closer relative than Boaz was, he was merchel on his chus to have the right to do this practice, this meaning that they had, the meaning toiv, this mitzvah, the meaning that they had, to buy the tzedek from their relative. So Boaz said, okay, fine, you merchel on his chus, but let's make a kinyan on it anyway. So they went ahead and made a kinyan suitor. So it's interesting, the Rambam quotes this meaning. And we practice this meaning bismanazah also, that there are cases, the Rambam writes from the end of Perakei, the Ilchus Mechira, that there are cases where there's really no need meikar adin for any ma'aseh kinyan, and nevertheless we still do a kinyan suitor as a symbolic act to demonstrate that the person really means what he's doing b'leif sholem. So for example, the Rambam writes, when one person is moichel a debt to somebody else, so the minig would be that they would insist on making a kinyan suitor to demonstrate that he really means it. If they didn't make a kinyan suitor, the mechila is valid anyway, they can't collect his money anyway. But just liyesu says to demonstrate that he really means it b'leif sholem, so the minig would be to do a kinyan suitor. And the same is the practice today. Let's say a person appoints a shaliach. I appoint a shaliach to sell my chametz for me. I come to the rabbi and I appoint him as my shaliach to sell the chametz for me. So the Rambam writes, there's no need to make any kinyan suitor with the rabbi. I'm not selling him. I'm not transferring the ownership of my chametz to the rabbi. The rabbi is selling the chametz to the goy. When the rabbi sells to the goy, the rabbi has to make kinyonim. And one of the kinyonim will be the kinyan suitor. But when I speak to the rabbi and I appoint him as my shliach to sell my chametz on my behalf, there's no need for any kinyan. It doesn't make any sense. I just appoint him orally as my shliach, and there's no need for kinyan. Yet the minig is, the Rambam writes, the minig is to make a kinyan suitor to demonstrate that the people are appointing the rabbi as the shliach for leiv sholem. The same is true. The Rambam writes and the Shulchan Aruch writes that practice, let's say a man divorces his wife, aydei shliach. So if he gives the get directly to his wife, so there's no need for any kinyan, he gave her the get, that itself is a kinyan shtar. What if he gives the get to a shaliach, that the shaliach should deliver this get to his wife? So our minig is, that's how the Rambam writes, that's our practice. Our minig is, when you appoint the shaliach, so you make a kinyan suitor with the shliach to demonstrate that you're doing this shlichus, that you want him to deliver the get, the leiv sholem, that you really want him to take care of it. So that was the original description in the parsha in Megillas Rus, where the Navi describes the kinyan suitor that was done, that was effected between Boaz and Tov, was such a kinyan. It was a kinyan on a mechilas zechus, that Tov was giving up his right to do the purchase of the minik toiv, of buying the field from Nami, and he's giving up his chus, and he's allowing Boaz to do this minik toiv. So exactly how was the kinyan suitor done? So the Gemara has a whole argument. Who gives a kli to who? Does the, let's say, if I'm selling you my chumash, so do you give me your kli? You give me a pen, a handkerchief, a jacket, a yarmulke, a pair of glasses, whatever. Any kind of a kli, a dovah chashuv, you give me a kli, in exchange for which I give you the ownership of the chumash. Chumash is sitting over here. If you pick up the chumash, it'd be kind of a hagbor. That's easy. But if you don't pick it up, I have the chumash at home. It's not available here. So do you give me a kli, in exchange for which I makna you the chumash? But if we say, no, I give you a kli, and I say, just like you kind of this kli, so too, along with this kli, you're also kind of the other thing, the building, or the gemara, or the $1 million that I want to obligate myself to give you. So this is the machlokas Rav and Levi in Bava Metzi and Perek HaZohar. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, we pass an halacha that the Kelev shall kone, that the one who wants to acquire the ownership has to give his kli, in exchange for which I give him the object. Let's say, if I'm giving you a house, or I'm giving you a gemara or something, so you give me a handkerchief, you give me some kind of a kli, in exchange for which I give you the ownership over the metalkalim or over the karka. And the same is true when the rabbi accepts the charge from the balabatim to become their shliach, to sell their chomet, so the rabbi has to give his handkerchief to the balabat, he gives something to the balabat, in exchange for which he acquires something. What is he acquiring? He's not acquiring the chomet, he's acquiring the right to sell the chomet, he's acquiring the schus to be a shliach, the ability to become a shliach for the balabat. Right, the Gemara says that was always the practice, that you gave it back right away.
Just a symbol, right.
So it's interesting, when we sell the chomet, this is one of the kinyanim that we do with the goy. The problem by the Mechiras Chametz is, if we would take the Chametz and give it to the guy and tell him, Gegizinta, hey, if you take the Chametz in your house, that would be the best Kinyan of all. Then there would be no Shailas. But in we don't do that. We keep the Chametz in our Rishus. So the problem is, how can I transfer ownership of Chametz to a guy without giving it over Mamish into his Rishus? So Rashi's opinion is that when a Jew sells Metaltalim to a guy, if the guy pays cash for it, he's kind of the Moos. Then Moos HaKonos, when a Jew sells Metaltalim to a guy. According to Rashi, there's no problem at all. Let the guy just pay a little money for all the chametz, and then all the chametz will belong to the guy. However, Tosis disagrees with Rashi. And Tosis shows, based on the Gemara, that Rashi is very difficult. The din ought to be that when you sell metaltalim to a guy, mo'ot, kesef, should not work. So you have to make some other kinyan. So what kinyan? And the best kinyan to be, the best kinyan would be if you give him the chametz, but we don't give him the chametz, we leave the chametz in our house. That's why we have a problem. So we do the meister, when we sell the chametz, we make six kinyan. We do first Rashi's kinyan, we have the guy pay money. Then we do also the kinyan suda. We have the guy give his handkerchief, give some kind of a kli that he happens to have. And then in exchange for our taking that kli, we tell him, now we give you the right to acquire ownership of all of the chametz. So Tosis says in Kiddushin, I've given him an aleph, but that's also the best thing. When you do kinyan chalitim with a guy, Rabbi Natan says 100% for sure that it's kinyan. There's nothing, there's no hitch over here. If you make a kinyan kesef with the guy, then it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosis. But if you're not doing a kinyan kesef, you're doing a kinyan chalipin. Rabbi Natan claims, and he did it all the time, that chalipin works with a guy. So the Rishonim question whether the Rabbi Natan is right. They say because the Shach and Choshen Mishpah disagrees with the Rabbi Natan. It says when you read the pasuk here, it says results lufanim be Yisrael, halagulav alatmur. It says regarding kinyan tzura, they did to the Jewish kinyan. So it seems from the Chumash that it only works when both parties involved are Jews, when one of them is a guy. The Kenyan Suter shouldn't work. That's why we're makbid that in addition to the Kenyan Suter, we make another four Kenyan, because there are different opinions which Kenyan works and which one doesn't work. And the main time against the Rabbi Natan is based on this passage that it says, Bezos will fun be Israel. So the Shach says, how can the Rabbi Natan possibly claim that Kenyan Suter is Kona? When a guy is involved, but the passage says it only works when Jews are involved. The Dvar Avraham, in his Tshuva, the Kovner Rav, comments on the passage describing Chalipin. The Pasuk describes it as if Chalipa was a minhag. There's also the front of me, so this was the common practice. And it seems from the Pasuk that because this was the minhag ha-socharim, this was the common practice among the businessmen, that they would make a kinyan suda, that's why the halacha declares that it has a halachic validity. That's why suda is kernel. Pidin, the halacha recognizes the minhag ha-socharim. So Bemis, we have such a concept in the Gemara. The Gemara calls that situmto. Whatever is a minhag ha-socharim, whatever is a kinyan, In that country at that given time, so the halacha recognizes that and declares that as a valid kinyan. So that's like when you buy a diamond. So the practice is that you shake hands with the merchant, you say mazal and bracha. That's considered a minig al pi minig amdina, minig al pi minig hastokin, and that has validity. So the Dvar Avram quotes, and Dvar Avram has in the first tshuva, long arichas Dvar Avram, Simen Aleph, Chelag Aleph Simen Aleph, has a very long tshuva about this, and he claims that whenever something is a minig hastokin, and it thereby declared as a kinyan, he said this is the kinyan min ha-Torah. Because nobody ever questioned the validity of kinyan suter. It's certainly a minig, certainly a kinyan gomer for dinim deraisa. So he says, therefore, anything which would be a minig asochrim would also be konim min ha-Torah. So he says, even if one would argue and say, like the Shach says, a kinyan suter is not kind of by goyim, it's only kind of by Jews, but whatever is accepted as a minig amdina, that it's kind of, let's say, if you would sell anything to a goy, I'm selling a television to a goy. How is it considered that I sold it to the goat? I fill out a sales slip and whatever, he pays a down payment, whatever. So whatever is good in the minig amdina, whatever is acceptable, according to the common practice, is a kinyan. Let's use one of the old kinyanim. Let's use the kinyan that Tosis says is no good. Let's say it's good, mitam minig amdina. At the time, according to the Dvar Avraham, it would be good. Right? Anything that's good, mitam minig amdina, has validity al pi din. That's the taina of the Dvar Avraham. Other poskim disagree and they say that that's not the pshat in the pasuk. It was also the fun of Yisrael because it was a common practice. That's how it developed and it turned into a kinyan al pidin, that the halacha recognized the minig. Others disagree with the Rav and they say no, that a minig that's only mitam minig amdina, minig asochim, cannot take off your bal yirah by yamotzi for you. Some hold it's a kinyan de rabbanon, right? Some hold it's a kinyan de rabbanon, but it wouldn't be a kinyan de raisa to avoid the bal yirah by yamotzi. The Ibn Ezra has a comment on this pasuk also that describes Kenyan Stilur. The pasuk says, "V'zos ha-te'udo b'Yisrael." The word te'udo comes from the word aid. This is what the aidim have to watch. When a Kenyan Stilur is affected, the aidim have to watch the way they make a Kenyan Stilur. So this Ibn Ezra seems to be interpreting like the Raivid. There is an argument between the Raivid and all the other Rishonim regarding Kinyan Chalipin. They say, if I sell you something and I make a Kinyan Chalzoki and a Karka, a Kinyan Shtar, or a Kinyan Kesef, or any other Kinyan, I go to the grocery, I go to any store and I buy something, you don't have to have Eidim Kekim Agav, you don't have to have Eidim watching, to the extent that if the Eidim are not watching, the Kinyan is not valid. There is no such thing. We only have such a din by Kiddushin. By a wedding, the din is you have to have Eidim watching, otherwise the Kiddushin doesn't get off the ground. Even if the Chas and the Kala both admit that they got married, then if the Kiddushin is not valid, there are no kosher Eidim. And by a get, we pass in that by a get also, you have to have two kosher Eidim. If there are no Eidim, the get is not valid at all. It's not that no one can prove later on that they got divorced. Even not a question of proving it. Al-Pidim, the din is that the get is not valid if there are no Eidim watching. So we usually assume that this halacha of Eidus l'kiyum hadavar, that if there are no Eidim watching, the whole kinyan doesn't take effect, is limited after to Kiddushin and to Gittin, and doesn't apply at all in the area of Dini Mamunah. So the Raivid disagrees and says, that with respect to kinyan Sudar, it does apply. What is the source for the Raivid? So the Ibn Ezra says, this is the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Zos hatud of the Yisra, that it's necessary to have kosher Eidim watching at the time you make the kinyan Sudar. So the Maitre, this is important. Let's say when the Rabbanim do the Mechiras Chameis, so we do all of the, we do six different kinyonim. So one of the six kinyonim is the kinyan Sudar. And the reason why we make six kinyonim is because we're not sure which one is the real one that's kainan. So one of the stakes is that maybe you need the kinyan Sudar to take off the bayirah bayimot. Maybe you have to sell a chametz to the guy, the kinyan Sudar. Now the din is, according to this rabbi, you have to have Eidus l'kiyum hadavar, you have to have two kosher Eidim watching. When you sell a chametz, two kosher Eidim means that it can't be the Balabatim, whose chomet I'm selling, nor can they be the children of the Balabatim, nor the cousins of it. It can't be related to the Balabatim. You have to get two people from a different shul, two people who are not the owners of the chomet, nor related to the owners of the chomet, to be Eidim l'kiyum hadavar to watch when you make the kinyan surah. The other kinyan, you don't need any Eidim for. The shaking hands and the giving over the money and everything else, you don't need any Eidim for. But the kinyan surah, according to the Raivid, it's necessary that you should have Eidim l'kiyum hadavar.
So maybe you skip kinyan surah altogether. Five
right, we are mistook which is the valid kinyan, which is the one that works, but because of the suffering, the Achrayim say, we make all six kinyan. So one of them is the Sudar. That's what we're makbet, to make the kinyan Sudar in addition to all of the others. These are some of the many dinim that the Gemara learns out from the Megillah Shrus. Of course, there is a fascinating Medrash. Medrash has a comment. What do we need the Megillah Shrus for at all if it doesn't have any dinim in it? The Gemara has tens of dinim learned out. Medrash asks, what does the Megillah Shrus teach us? There are no halachas. So the Medrash answers that the Megillah Shrus comes to teach us the matan tzchoram shel gomlei chasodim. That because Rus was so kind to her shviger, she didn't want to leave her all by herself, and she traveled with the Eretz Yisrael, and she became Jewish sort of out of compassion for her mother-in-law. She felt better that the mother-in-law should be all by herself. The mother-in-law is not going to live with the shiksa daughter-in-law. So she converted in order to help out her mother-in-law. That's what the Medrash seems to imply. So the Sukkim tell us that this Sefer Rus tells us Matan Tzchom Shal Gomlei Chatzadim, that she was Zeicha, that her descendant became David HaMelech, David Melech Yisrael. It's interesting that this Megillah Shrus is a Megillah that speaks about Geirus. The main theme, there are many dinam learned up, but the main theme of Megillah Shrus is the union of Geirus, conversion to Yiddishkeit. That the Medrash should say that the main idea of Megillah Shrus is Gmilas Chatzadim, as if sort of to imply that that's the Iker of Kedushas Yisrael. That the Iker of Kedushas Yisrael is Milas Chatzorim. Rav Shimon Shkok has a very interesting comment in the Hagdomah to Hishara Yoshin, his famous halacha work, Tulpluman, Reva Chazok, and everything. So in his Hagdomah, he has a comment on the Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. The Medrash says, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kodesh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So he interprets the Medrash as follows. Kedoshim Tiyu, the Medrash interprets, you should be kind to others, Milas Chatzorim to others. Then the Medrash says, Yochu Kamoni, maybe a Basav Adam should think that he'll be so kind to others, he'll be altruistic. Like the Christians think that a person can be medama, a human being can be medama himself to the Rabbanu Shalom to the extent that he does everything for others, that the Rabbanu Shalom does for other people, and he doesn't do anything for himself. He doesn't need anything that he does. So one might think, Yochol Kamoni, that the Torah requires of us, Kedoshim Tihi Yu, you should be such Kedoshim to do for others to the extent, like the Rabbanu Shalom does nothing for yourself. So then the passage continues, Na Kikarash Ani Hashem Lekechem Kedushati Lamayla Mikdushatchem. That although Kedushas Yisrael means to be medama yourself to the Rabbanu Shalom, and the Rabbanu Shalom, the union of Kedusha by the Rabbanu Shalom is his chesed that he does for others, not for himself. That's the Iker of the Yidden that Klal Yisrael should do for others, but they shouldn't only do for others and not for themselves. That nekuda, that idea of altruism, that's a Christian notion. That's not the Jewish idea. Well, I wish everybody a pleasant Yontif and a pleasant summer.
We used to hear on our
Yes.